This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Oregon, you know, been doing a good job for a long time now, you know, under a number of different coaches, and Dan's taken it to the next level. They've done a phenomenal job. It's also a place with tremendous resources as well. And they've built that thing, to compete at the highest level. And I got some pretty strong relationships with Oregon and have for a long time, not only on the coaching staff, but in other areas as well. And they're committed to win at the highest level and have been that way for a number of years now. So Dan and his staff have done a phenomenal job. But just like all of us, it takes a major commitment from everybody involved. And they've done a very nice job of that.
There's James Franklin, the Penn State coach, talking about Dan Lanning and the Ducks. Here to talk about the Big Ten championship game from statecollege.com, Seth Engel covers Penn State, joining us now on the hotline. Seth, thanks for making time for us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, John.
Give me an idea. Penn State fans, Oregon kind of thought they were going to get Ohio State in this game. When did Penn State fans kind of wrap their minds around the idea of playing for the Big Ten title?
I think it was on fourth down in that Ohio State-Michigan game. when Will Howard sent that last pass sailing, we were sitting in the press box, and I was hovering over my continue button trying to book a flight, and my cursor was just there, just waiting for the game to be over, and that's kind of just how it went, and I think it went that way for pretty much all the Penn State fans watching.
The James Franklin season, from Penn State's perspective, when do you think the Nittany Lions were playing their best football?
I mean, I think it's kind of been after the Ohio State game. You've kind of seen over the past couple weeks, everything that they were, maybe struggling to do at certain points throughout the season kind of came to fruition. And they would have liked it to be in that Ohio State game. But, unfortunately for them, it's kind of just been this different trajectory. And in some ways, they needed that loss to kind of propel them to this opportunity. So really, over the past maybe 4 weeks, a lot of these things have really started to click.
I am looking at this matchup with Penn State and Oregon, and I see physicality at the point of attack. I see, two teams that are going to be very physical and mix it up. I see playmakers on Oregon's side. Who are the playmakers this season for Penn State as you look at those guys that are capable of making big plays on the offensive side of the ball?
No, I think you make a good point about physicality, and it's probably one of the reasons why Oregon has been so successful compared to these other, Pac-12 teams who joined the conference this year. But for Penn State, this is a true Big Ten team. They're really tough in the trenches, and they've built to be that way. So Abdul Carter is the guy that kind of stands out right away on the edge. And Zane Durant, on the interior defensive line, those are two very Big Ten style players that I think can really impact the game in a lot of ways that maybe Oregon can match up with, better than we saw from USC or UCLA or Washington, because they're just built to play those types of guys. But offensively, I mean, there's no one more exciting than tight end Tyler Warren, who's arguably, you know, the best tight end in the country. And James Franklin's been pushing for him to, you know, not only win the Mackey Award for the top tight end, but, you know, also get some Heisman looks. So this is a guy who you really don't know where he's going to be on the field. You know, he can snap the ball, he can catch the ball, he can run the ball, he can throw, he can pretty much do everything that, you know, they'd ask him to do, which can be a very tricky assignment for really any defense to game plan for. And to this point, teams have game plan for him, and they haven't been able to stop him. So,
Seth Engel covers Penn State for statecollege.com. Seth, the difference between winning and losing this game, from an Oregon standpoint, hey, they're the one seed if they win this thing. They're probably the five seed if they lose this thing. What's the upside, downside for Penn State in your mind?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I just got off the teleconference with Ward Emanuel, and he was talking about the seeding and, you know, exactly what happens with these conference championship teams versus what happens with the teams who aren't playing. Like, is there a risk to go to this game? And it seems like there is, you know, because what he said is basically the teams who aren't playing, you know, they won't be impacted. They can't really move up and down. But the teams that are playing, like, they're still using data points that they can potentially use to dictate their seeding. So there is a lot on the line with this game. You know, Oregon, you know, obviously has the number one seed on the line, but when you look at Penn State holding a number five seed and you look at the path where you could go from Arizona State to Boise State to the semifinals versus being the number one and having to play Ohio State or Tennessee in the quarters, I mean, it's really kind of a toss-up. And to me, it's kind of a flaw with the college football playoff, the way that it's kind of designed like that. So there's something on the line. I know that. Big Ten title is great, I think, especially in the first year of an expanded conference. But even if you lose, if you keep it close, like, I don't think that five seed is really anything to be too upset about, just considering the path that could potentially be laid out.
Yeah, if you can stay in that five position, you know, you're in a better spot maybe than if Penn State wins the game. You know, what, you know, are they a two or a three? Where would you see them if they win this game and everything else kind of unfolds as it should?
Well, that was kind of the exciting thing after Penn State beat Maryland is, you know, you take a step back and you realize, well, if Penn State beats Oregon, like, hypothetically, they could take the number one seed. Like,
sure.
They could be the number one team in the country, which they haven't been able to do in quite some while, at least since the 1990s. So, I mean, that's certainly an option. But I don't know. It's interesting to see kind of if they were to get blown out too. Like, how far can they drop? Like, there's the ceiling and there's this floor. And to me, it could be pretty expansive in terms of what, you know, they could potentially do with that final score.
There seemed to be a lot of angst from the fan base after the loss to Ohio State, and James Franklin was leaving the field and he was mixing it up with a fan. He was frustrated. You know, it seems like that has quieted down to this point. What's at stake for James Franklin on Saturday night?
It's the same thing that's really been at stake for, I guess, the past 8 years or so, which is breaking into that elite category in college football. And, you know, in the Big Ten, that's dictated by whether you can beat Ohio State and Michigan. But now it's a different conference. You know, you have an opportunity to potentially beat a different style team in Oregon and make that same kind of jump. So this is another opportunity. You know, the loss to Ohio State, I think, was ugly. They had opportunities to win that game, and they maybe should have, but they couldn't get it done. So now this is another chance where James Franklin can maybe break into, you know, that category that he's long searched for. And I don't know, he's done it on a stage that he's found success before, so I think anything's possible.
Give me an idea, because you've watched this season from a Penn State vantage point. I've watched it here from the West Coast, and we're watching just some wonky things happen and now some pandering and lobbying from the SEC and others. What do you make of what the committee did today, and what jumped out at you as the rankings were coming out?
Well, it's confusing. That's the first thing to me, because I'm not sure whether they really mean what they're saying in terms of you know, these conference championship teams being able to move up and down, but also the teams that aren't playing just staying put. It doesn't make much sense because, I mean, Ward Manuel basically said, like, if SMU loses in the ACC championship, they can drop below Alabama, who's not playing in the SEC championship. So technically any team can move. So anything that they're saying right now is really, it's all over the place. And to me, as you're entering, you know, this type of game, you know, if I'm head coach, like that worries me. But at the same time, I know that there's going to be growing pains in the first year of this whole 12-team playoff with expanded conferences. It's just a completely different beast. So I think there will be some alterations, you know, in future years. This is just the test trial, and it's fun to watch, kind of fun to see the, you know, how chaotic it can be, but we really won't know until Selection Day on Sunday.
I'll be watching early in this game in Indianapolis to see if Oregon's offensive line can get Jordan James yards. You know, he doesn't need, you know, big gashes, and you know, but just enough to move the ball and open up other elements of Oregon's offense, and then Dylan Gabriel gets going. From a Penn State perspective, what are you looking for early in the game against Oregon for a sign or a measure of success that they may have some things going?
I think starting fast is definitely the key, which is something that, you know, I think they struggled on earlier in the year, especially on defense, where, you know, you start to question, was Tom Allen the right hire? Because they would give up some points in the first half, and the offense would struggle to score. When they scored early and they've held the their opponent, you know, early on, those are kind of the games that Penn State's gotten ahead. So, you know, in this game, with an explosive offense like Oregon, if they're able to hold them a little bit, you know, that would obviously create some opportunities for the offense. And Andy Kotelnicki is a coordinator who has just completely changed everything about this unit. They're able to make explosive plays too, you know, just like Oregon. And you know, the big play thing was something that Penn State really struggled with last year. So, you know, Penn State's defense is solid, and but at the same time, I don't know if they've really faced an offense, you know, as kind of dominant as Oregon has been throughout this year.
I'm really looking forward to the game. Seth Ingles with us, statecollege.com. Big moment, big stakes for Oregon. Certainly the playoff after that. But, Seth, give me an idea. You know, you've been around the Big Ten. How does it going over with Ohio State and Michigan that neither one of those teams is in the conference championship game in this new world of the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a breath of fresh air. It's new, especially when you kind of think about some of the other conference championship games that we've seen in the past few years where it's just been completely lopsided. You know, I remember the 2016 Big Ten championship, the last time Penn State was there. Against Wisconsin, it was an amazing game. Came down to the final second, and you know the past few years when it's like a Michigan, Iowa, or an Ohio State, Northwestern, it's just not the same thing. But you know, for a game like this, Penn State and Oregon, these are two of the top teams in the country who have lots to go to the College Football Playoff, and it should be a close and competitive game. So you know, I think it should excite anyone who likes Big Ten football, and you know, really any football fan in the country.
What worries Penn State about Oregon?
I mean, I think their quarterback. Like, Dylan Gabriel is just a completely different beast. And Penn State is, they've seen, you know, Miller Moss and Will Howard. But, I mean, Dylan Gabriel is going to be the best quarterback that they've seen so far this season. And slowing him down, especially a guy who can move around the pocket and do a bunch of things that they're not really familiar with, I think that's a huge difference. And I mean, that's the guy that should be circled with a red marker on Tom Allen's notebook. So, I don't know. Other than that, I think Penn State can compete with pretty much anything. But that's really the one nuance that I think they might have to get adjusted to.
Will the Penn State fans show up in Indy?
I think they will. Well, there's a big community. I'm from Chicago, so there's a big community of Penn State alumni in the Chicago area. And Indianapolis is only a couple hours away, and I'm sure they have a pretty large alumni association too. But Penn State Big Ten Championship doesn't come around once, you know, every few years. So I think they'll definitely try to make the trip over.
Yeah, I'm interested in Oregon to see how the fans show up, because there's the potential here that fans who have already, you know, gone and seen a Big Ten game on the road because there was a novelty to it, and are also thinking, hey, this could be a Rose Bowl, you know, on January 1st if they win this Big Ten championship game. Let's wait till then. Like, there may be a little bit of, hey, let's wait, let's sit this one out from the Oregon fans. I'm just curious to see on game day, just kind of looking around the stadium to see how much green is out there or yellow and green is out there inside the stadium. Obviously some high stakes, but give us an idea. I mean, you're on this beat. The Penn State fans are rabid. What is it like to cover Penn State?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a big beat. We have tons of writers there, so it's constantly, you know, kind of competitive, and it's a big press room, so a lot of questions. You know, James Franklin speaks for 40 minutes every Monday and probably gets asked about 20 questions, so it's a lot of fun, and you know, I've gotten to travel to some cool places and seen some great games, but I've also covered some tough games, like a 9 overtime loss, you know, against Illinois in 2021. Yeah. So, but yeah, this season's been fun, and I think the conference expansion is really cool for someone who likes to travel, and you know, you get to go out in LA and see a bunch of new places and new stadiums. So, you know, as a football fan and lover of traveling, you know, I'm all for it.
Best player on the defensive side of the ball for Penn State?
That's Abdul Carter, no question. I mean, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, you know, arguably the best defensive player in college football this year, and he's going to be hard to stop. You know, what I talked about Tyler Warren earlier is kind of this versatile threat. Carter is almost the same way on defense, where he, you know, came up as a linebacker and, you know, actually switched to defensive end this offseason. So some of those linebacker traits he still has, and they'll still put him in position to go into coverage. But he is just an elite pass rusher, so they can put him on the defensive line, and he's just really exceptional there. So he's someone that I'm sure, you know, Oregon is trying to game plan for. But yeah, he's just a very gifted player.
Early in the season, when Oregon was playing, you know, Boise State even in Idaho, they were having some problems on the offensive line. They seem to have shored that up in about week 3 and haven't really had a problem since. But there were a number of sacks in those early games. Gabriel looked uncomfortable because the center and the guards were getting pushed back into him by Boise State's defensive front. But Gabriel's looked comfortable. So I think so much a key to this game for Penn State will be, can they make him uncomfortable? Now, they don't even need to sack him. Can they make him uncomfortable? Because when he was uncomfortable, he wasn't anywhere near as effective, nor are most passers in that way. So I think that'll be a key as well to kind of watch that early in the game. But I will see you in the press box in Indianapolis. I'm looking forward to it. I'll say hello, but I appreciate you giving us some of your time. Seth Engel joining us, statecollege.com. Thank you, Seth.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
You bet. There he goes. Look, I want to bring the best beat guys who cover this team and know this team on all week long. So Seth was kind enough to give us some of his time. You know, there are a number of publications that cover Penn State, but statecollege.com, you can check out Seth Engel's work there. Some parting thoughts coming up here on this great Tuesday.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.